Did you know that Libya is one of the oldest nations of the world? It holds the distinction of one of the very few countries mentioned in the Bible. And in Libya's case, both Old Testament and New Testament. But ironically, its history as an independent state is very young. It became independent from Italy in 1951 and was then ruled by a monarchy. Oil was discovered in 1959, which brought wealth into Libya. Then in 1969, a group of military officers led by a Colonel Muammar al-Qaddafi deposed the king and transformed Libya into an Islamic republic. And since then, Qaddafi has been the ruler of this nation. Well, today, Libya is very much on the center of world attention in the media. Protests are pushing Qaddafi to the brink. Well, we do not know what will be the aftermath of this, but it impresses on us this consistent lesson of history. No regime in any nation is permanent. No matter how powerful any dynasty may be, at a certain point, it will crumble. Change is the one thing permanent in our history. For Christians, however, sa ating mga Kristiyano, may isang pamamahala na ating kinikilala sa paraan ng pananampalataya at naniniwala tayo na ang pamamahalang yon ay permanente. There is one rule that we recognize by faith to be permanent. Indeed, we believe it to be eternal. But this rule, this government, is not listed in the current membership of the United Nations. In fact, it has no diplomatic relations with any nation on earth. I am referring, of course, to the rule of the Lord Jesus Christ. One day, we believe, the Bible says in Revelation 11:15, the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of Christ. Darating ang panahon na mga kaharian ng mundong ito ay mapapailalim at sasakupin ng kaharian ni Yesu Kristo. Now, this expansion of the kingdom is now being promoted by the chosen agency by the Lord Jesus Himself, and that is the church. What a privilege then when you think of it, to be a part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other community on earth quite like it. It may not be as wealthy as other organizations, but there is no community that has the task and mandate of promoting the kingdom of Jesus Christ other than the church. Now you see what that means? It should always be a Christian's commitment to be a faithful member of a Christian church. Dapat na isang responsibilidad ng mananampalataya na maging matapat na miyembro, kaanib ng isang iglesia. Hindi kalooban ng Diyos ng isang mananampalataya ay magsolo sa kanyang pananampalataya. Merong iglesia ang nararapat nating kabilangan upang mapasama tayo sa kampanya ng pagtataguyod at pagpapalawig ng kaharian ng ating Panginoong Hesukristo. Now, one way to be faithful as a member of a church is to understand our place as members in the church. We're not mere attendees. We are appreciative of every one of you who attends our church, but membership is still different. And as members, we should know our place. Now, one thing that the New Testament does to instruct us on the way of faithfulness is that it uses various figures for the church. And those figures give us some idea as to what members and leaders ought to be in the church. We know, for example, of the figure of the body. The church is the body of Christ, which emphasizes in the Corinthian passages the unity in diversity of membership. Whereas in the Ephesians and Colossian passages, the body figure emphasizes the headship of Jesus Christ. Now we will use another figure this month, and this month of March is also the building anniversary of this building, and I want to take the opportunity for us to be conscious of the church in that figure used in the New Testament as a building. Now sometimes, in fact, we are We often hear people misuse the word church to identify it with the building where people worship. Pag sinasabi natin, ingatan nyo ang church, maglinis kayo sa church, ay ang tinutukoy nila yung building, and while that may be acceptable idiom in terms of we understand each other what we mean, but the church is not the building. But building is a good figure to give lessons about being a church. I invite you to turn your Bibles now to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's read from verse 9 to verse 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, let's read from verse 9 to verse 15. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. And while we put a mark on that passage, may I invite you to a second passage, and that is in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2, let's now read verses 19 to 22. Ephesians 2, 19 to 22. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Now our Corinthian text is Paul's correction of the Corinthian tendency to partisanship. Ito yung kanyang iwinawasto rito, yung pagkakanya-kanya, yung paggrupo-grupo, at ang nangyayari ay nagkakaroon sila ng sigalot at pagkakahati-hati sa iglesia. Apostle Paul called that partisanship carnal. It should not be in the church. But he analyzed the root of this partisanship, and he saw a wrong view of church leadership. Following the way of the world, the Corinthians treated their leaders like lords that they rallied around. And so their statements were saying, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas or Peter. And then there are those who want to sound hyper-spiritual. They said, I am of Christ. Meaning, I don't want any leader. Well, either extreme is wrong. The biblical balance is to understand God's will concerning leadership in the church, and rather than treating them as lords around whom you rally your life, we must see them instead, as Paul describes himself here, as a fellow worker. God's worker. And in order to correct that, Paul uses two figures actually in this passage. The first he used is that of farm work in the field. And he uses such figure as sowing. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then who is Paul and who is Apollos? They are just farmers. It was God who gave the increase to the seed that was planted. Now from the field, he transitions now to another figure, and that is of building construction. Lessons are drawn from this figure. Now, the most important part of this building structure of the church is without doubt the foundation. Any building is only as solid as its foundation part. And Paul is clear on that foundation. In the Corinthian passage, that foundation is Christ. In the Ephesian passage, That foundation are the apostles and prophets with Christ as cornerstone. Now, there is no contradiction here. Rather, we see complementation if we put together the data. And if we put together the data, both of Corinthians and Ephesians, let me draw this message, a very simple message. The church is established on the Lord Jesus Christ of the biblical witness. What's the foundation of the church? The foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ, but which Christ? The Christ of the apostles and prophets. So we join together Corinthians and Ephesians, and we are saying the church is only a church as long as it is built upon the Christ of the apostles. What makes a building stand or fall is its foundation. And what makes a church is this foundation. We were reminded of what happened in New Zealand recently, how an earthquake devastated the city, ironically named Christ Church. Structures were toppled. And even before that, more than a year ago, the greater devastation in Haiti, when 95% of the whole country was devastated. And all because of problems of foundation. Now, let me tell you that something is happening which is not as sensational news as an earthquake, but without us seeing it visibly, churches are being toppled from their foundation. They are still called church. They still carry the name church, but they are not churches of Jesus Christ. They have been toppled down by their departure from the foundation which alone defines the church. And you and I, as members of this church, if we will remain a church in the truest sense of the word, let's take care of the foundation. This is now our 30th year by the grace and blessing of God. How are we to maintain and perpetuate our identity as a church? We take care of the foundation, and the foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ of the biblical witness, and it must remain permanent. Permanent in three ways. First, there can be no alteration. There can be no alteration. Hindi maaring palitan. Secondly, there will be no duplication. Hindi magkakaroon ng panibago. And thirdly, there should be no addition. Walang maaring idagdag. So in three ways, we must take care that the foundation of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ of the biblical witness, the apostles and prophets, be permanent. One, there can be no alteration. That's what Paul is saying in the Corinthian passage. No other foundation can anyone lay. No one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Out of necessity, in any construction, the foundation is first and prior to any other parts. Okay, kapag tayo nagtatayo ng gusali, hindi mo nang pwedeng unahin ang struktura, talagang inuuna ang pundasyon. So in the identity of the church, on what foundation it stands is prior to anything else of concern. And what we are saying here is that the message of the church, which is Christ, will never change even amidst changes that are happening in the world. In the previous figure that Paul used, that of planting, the planting and the watering are clearly about the message. When Paul said, "I planted," he was the one who preached the original message to the Corinthian people. "I planted." Then Apollos came along, as recorded in Acts 18, and it was Apollos who pastored the church. So Paul planted, Apollos watered, but definitely he was referring to the message. Now, the counterpart in the building figure is the foundation. What was planting and watering in the plant figure now becomes foundation in the building figure. And that being the counterpart, it means we're talking here of the message. What is the message of the church? There are now sweeping changes occurring in the world. We do not deny that. We are part of those changes. We cannot avoid being affected by changes. Technologically speaking, we can say that ours is no longer the world of Paul and the New Testament church. Technologically speaking, Time Magazine's cover story recently portrays youthful activists in Cairo, and then the caption was, "The generation changing the world. The generation of Facebook and Twitter." And as communication becomes so easy, no dictator today can be as safe as they used to be. The changes are breathtaking. And it will be foolish to ignore these changes. It will be foolish even for the church to fail to adapt to these changes. But now from this premise of changes, the idea of many is that the church's message must change with the times. Well, by all means, let us adopt the modern tools, and we do. That's the reason why we maintain a website. We use computers to convey the fundamental message. The reformers were technologically savvy people when it pertained to the technology available then. When Martin Luther wrote the 95 Theses, which launched the Reformation, the printing press was just a newly invented device. And yet Luther knew that this was one means whereby the message can be circulated in a speedy fashion. And he made use of the printing press. And we use the available tools today. But no, the message does not change. It is still Jesus Christ, the one who died and lived. And now he is in the task of saving sinners, ruling his saints through churches. We cannot change that. There must be no alteration of the foundation. One of the most famous structures in the world today is the Leaning Tower of Pisa in Italy. It began construction in 1173, but at the very initial stage, something was wrong with the foundation. It already started to lean. And the whole structure did not finish until 200 more years to complete it. And then they found a way to use its very defect to earn by attracting tourists. Well, that's good for them. That's novelty. That's enterprising. But we don't have such option in the foundation of Christ. We cannot lean, we cannot alter the foundation and then seek some ways of capitalizing. To change the foundation of the church is to have the ironic view, vision of churches that are becoming means to hell rather than means to heaven. No, brethren, we are not going to change. We have no such option. But for you and me, it means believe in and convey the permanent relevance of the message of the church. The reason why we would not change is because the message continues to be needed by every generation. I am of the conviction that Jesus Christ is the permanently contemporary man for every and any generation. He was what our ancient forefathers needed. Theirs was a demon-obsessed culture. They saw in Christ, Christus Victor, the victorious Christ over demons. He was right for them. But he remains what the current pop culture, modern techies need for their stressed humanity. There is nothing to be ashamed of Christ in this modern generation. He remains the contemporary man. In Matthew 9:36, we read of the reaction of Jesus when he saw the multitudes. We are told he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. In bygone days, having no shepherd may mean exposure to the demonic powers. In our day, It may be that having no shepherd is something defined in different ways, in modern ways, but it is the same Christ who sees the condition of people as having no shepherd. They have no Savior. And my friend, if you are not in Christ as the one who is your Lord and your Savior, whatever else you have, you are a sheep without a shepherd. And in those days, there was nothing more pathetic than a sheep without a shepherd. You know, other animals, they have what we call defense mechanism. Either they fight back with horns and claws and teeth, or if they can't fight back, they run well. The sheep has neither. It has no means to fight back. It does not run fast. Of all animals, the sheep depends so much on having a shepherd. And to describe a sheep without a shepherd, in the region where Jesus spoke this, was the most pathetic sight. And that's the pathetic sight of every sinner without a Savior. That is the reason why we cannot change the message. To change the message is criminal for a church. Let other organizations chase the kind of relevant message and theme they care to have. The church has no such option. And we misrepresent Christ if we do not represent Him as the compassionate Savior who still is sensitive to sheep without a shepherd. Sometimes we misrepresent Christ as someone who is great, a great someone in a great somewhere, but by miscommunicating, we don't show the relevance of Christ. And this is what we need. Believe in His relevance. Convey that relevance. Are you in church because you are one with the message of the church? Is it your own personal foundation? It is the foundation of this church. Is it your personal foundation? Let it never be said that one is in church for the sake of friends. The church being an assembly of not perfect saints, the church will sometimes shortchange on friendliness. But we seek to remain true to the message. That is our foundation that will never change with time because we believe it to be relevant in whatever condition. You know the name of Joni Erickson Tada? She is the Christian woman who gave a face to victory over physical handicap. But she revealed in her autobiography that her turning point from depression was when she realized Jesus on the cross was quadriplegic like she is. Quadriplegic means paralyzed on all four appendages, arms and legs. That's the condition of Joni Erickson Tada. And while new to that condition, she was depressed until she discovered this thought. Christ was like her. And this is something we can use to impress upon people. Christ still is the contemporary man. There can be no alteration. Secondly, there will be no duplication. The Ephesian passage says, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. Now, this is referring to the revelation bearers of the New Testament. This is an office given to chosen people. The apostles were the revelation bearers for the whole church, the universal church. Prophets in the New Testament were called as revelation bearers for the conditions of each local church. Now, they are no more. There are no more apostles or prophets today because revelation is complete. Now, what that means is that the witness bearers of Christ had done their work. No one will be after them ever since. No one will duplicate them. No duplication of the message bearers of the New Testament. They are now past. The word used by Paul is having been built. It's all done. It will never be repeated. There is no more revelation office. And we need to stress this because in the history of the church, there are always periods when men and women surfaced claiming new revelations. Sa kasaysayan ng iglesia, paulit-ulit yan. May mga lumilitaw na nagaangking may kapahayagan silang mula sa Diyos. Iba-iba ang mga pag-aangkin. Akala ko nga noon, narinig ko na yung pinakamatindi nung may nag-aangkin na siya'y nakarating sa langit at binigyan ng interview sa mga mainstream media. And I thought I heard it all. But no, somebody now claims that he just came from hell. Where will they stop? And Filipinos in particular are vulnerable to claims of miracles, visions, apparitions, images bleeding, images crying. Makarinig lang ng balita ngayon, aapaw agad ang crowd sa ganyang mga lugar. But the office that is meant to carry revelation is foundation. That is already complete. Just like this building, we keep improving the structure of our church building. But its foundation is done. You cannot dig it up. Now what does this mean to us? It means this. Test every messenger by his faithfulness to the original witnesses in the scriptures. That's why we are studying in our Sunday school the authentic text. Because we want to make sure that the text we carry is that which was written by the revelation bearers. Paul himself had the office of an apostle, but even he would not allow himself to be treated as Lord. But today, popes, and yes, pastors love to be treated as Lord by their followers. No, brethren, let us disabuse ourselves of any such tendency. What we need is an eye to scriptures as the foundation of the church. They give us the true Christ. There is no other Christ but the Christ of the scriptures. There is no other Christ but the Christ of the apostles and prophets. And now, Christ is the cornerstone, according to Paul. He holds together the various sides of the foundation. And that's what you need to test of every messenger. I listened to two preachers recently. One had personal touch, and I liked him immediately. The other made me understand scripture. And while I may like more the one with personal touch, I will profit more from the one who makes me understand scriptures. And that is the test of every messenger. Don't let him be the one in whom resides all the charisma. Brethren, we are men and women of the scriptures. Let it not be duplicated in authority and in its foundation. And finally, there should be no addition. Now, this is quite different from alteration. Yung alteration ay binago. Addition, hindi niya sasabing tanggalin na natin si Kristo. Si Kristo'y nandiyan pa rin, pero dagdagan natin. Hindi na sapat na si Kristo lang. Kaya kailangan yung iglesia makilala sa iba pang bagay kaysa kay Kristo lang. But both the Corinthian and the Ephesian passages agree that the foundation stage of the church is past and complete. The scripture is complete as the source of our message while the structure of the church expands. So when it comes to the materials to the structure, we continue to add. We continue to expand. We continue to build. Conversion is continuing. Not only that, even as we were discussing this morning in our Sunday school, knowledge is improving. More light is coming for us to understand Scripture. But to the Scriptures themselves, nothing is to be added. Not a new authority, not a new message. Another famous structure on earth is the Taj Mahal. That's in India. It is said that it is the most perfect symmetry of a building on earth. Built by a Shah, that is a ruler of an Indian kingdom, to the memory of a beloved and departed wife. So he had it built. Around the Taj Mahal are four minarets. These are towers. But you know, the way they were built, they leaned towards outside. And the idea was, in the event of an earthquake, it should not fall on the main building. They are just there in order to serve that main building. Now, in terms of additional knowledge, we have our minarets. But they should not fall on the Scriptures. Scriptures are the main thing. There can be no addition to the Scriptures. And what that means, what it means that there can be no addition, is that what is not in the Scripture is not the Christ whom the church is to proclaim. There will always be new fads. Fads from the prayer of Jabez to purpose-driven life to the best life now. And as it happens to every fad, they will reach their peak and then erode again to be forgotten to give way to a new fad. Well, brethren, we are a church not of fads. Hindi tayo iglesyang tagasunod lang sa uso. Our only foundation is Christ. We have no addition to the Christ of the Scriptures. By the blessing of God, our knowledge may expand. But the Scriptures themselves are fixed. No more addition. The only Christ we have is the one taught in the Scripture. No addition. And that is what we need to deliver to men and women. That is our supreme desire, that you are visitors, you are children, you are friends, will know the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what consumes us, that you will know Jesus Christ. Did you know that today is the 100th birth anniversary of the late President Ronald Reagan of the United States? He would have been 100 years old today, born in 1911. A great man to the Republicans, of course, one of their greatest presidents of the 20th century. He stood up to the Soviets. How can one forget when he stood at the Berlin Wall and declared in no uncertain terms, directed at the Secretary General of the Soviet Union, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. Those are brave words. But one thing I'll never forget was when he died, his eldest son, named after him, Ronald Reagan Jr., gave a eulogy in that funeral. And what I will not forget was when he said, "The greatest gift my father gave me was to make me know Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior." The greatest gift, not the presidency, but Jesus Christ. And to you, my friend, there is no more consuming desire in our hearts than that you will know Jesus Christ. And to us as a church, may it be our consuming desire that as a church, we will stick by that foundation, no alteration, no duplication, and no addition. May God so be pleased that whatever else we lack as a church, whatever else we're deprived of as a church, the one thing that we can testify by the grace of God is that we are a church that is established on the Christ of the biblical witness, nothing more need be asked. Let us sing, Jesus, thou joy of loving hearts. As it says, from the best bliss that earth imparts, we turn unfilled to thee again. It means whatever else the world can provide for satisfaction, ultimately we feel unfilled until it is Christ who fills us. May that be our sense as a church and as believers. Let's close in prayer. Mula sa iyong kadakilaan at biyaya, dakila naming Diyos, tinawag mo kami at nabuo sa aming panahon ang iglesyang ito at itinayo mo sa tanging pundasyon ang aming Panginoong Hesukristo. At tulungan mo na bilang iglesia na kami ngayon nasa aming 30th taon ay magsikap kami sa pamamagitan ng iyong biyaya na manatiling nakatayo, nakatindig sa pundasyon na iyon. May we make that foundation permanent by your grace, that there will be no alteration. While we are surrounded by changes and wisdom dictates that we adapt to those changes, we use the tools that are now available, yet the message itself will never change. And may we believe, and by your wisdom grant us to convey the continuing relevance of the message concerning Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ, may it be our conviction, is the permanently contemporary man for every and any generation. What he was as needed by the generation of the past, he still is needed by this present generation. The same Christ who looked at the multitude, moved with compassion because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. This is still our Lord Jesus today. And may we never misrepresent him to this world, but show to them the Christ who is compassionate, the Christ who is contemporary. May we remain true to the message, and may that be our foundation that will never change with time. Thank you for the men you have used to be revelation bearers in the foundation stage of the church. They have done their job faithfully, but now their job is done. There will be no duplication of this office. Our task now is to test every messenger by his faithfulness to the original witnesses in the scriptures. We often are vulnerable to simply yield to the charisma of personal touch. But may our first test be faithfulness to the scriptures, for that will be the most profit that can be done to saints and sinners alike. And help us, Lord, to have no addition to the Christ of the scriptures. Thank you that as we get to know more, our knowledge increases, more light becomes available. Yet to the scriptures themselves, there will be no addition. That will be our complete permanent source, our complete and permanent foundation. And what is not in the scripture is not the Christ whom the church is to proclaim. May it be continually the consuming desire that we sustain in our hearts to have men and women know Christ through us. And may it be our consuming goal as a church that we will be a church defined by the Lord Jesus Christ. We may lack many things as a church. We may not have the money that other organizations can boast of. But be that as it may, make us a church that will be defined by the Christ in us, the hope of glory. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.